Don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us to begin with in the Word of God in the book of Exodus, Exodus chapter 20, beginning at verse 1. And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them nor serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands to those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, nor his male servant, nor his female servant, nor his ox, nor his donkey, nor anything that is your neighbor's. Verses 1 through 17, Exodus chapter 20. Then looking in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 1 to 9. Again, Deuteronomy 6, verses 1 to 9. Now this is the commandment, and these are the statutes and the judgments which the Lord your God has commanded to teach you, that you may observe them in the land which you are crossing over to possess, that you may fear the Lord your God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command you, you and your son and your grandson, all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged. Therefore, hear, O Israel, and be careful to observe it, that it may be well with you, and that you may multiply greatly as the Lord God of your fathers has promised you, a land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Verses 1 through 9, Deuteronomy chapter 6. Father, thank you once again for the wonderful and the blessed privilege and opportunity we have of being able to come to you in prayer every single day, knowing that you always, always, always have a listening ear for the prayers of your children. Thank you for the blessing, the privilege, and honor of being able to open your word and spend time one-on-one with you every day as we read and meditate on your word. And Lord, thank you for the grace, the peace, the power, the joy that flows into our hearts and our minds as we make time to get into your word each and every day. And thank you for the blessings that are ours as we do just that. Lord, empower each of us to become much more faithful hearers and doers of your word, and help us to grow in our understanding of the fact that every one of us is called to be students of your word, and you were all called to be people given to prayer. Anoint us afresh. Set us on fire afresh with the spirit of prayer today as well. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thank you for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our producer is Isaac Jackson. Isaac is going to lead us in prayer at this time.
Heavenly Father, thank you so much for these moments. And Heavenly Father, thank you so much for coming to rescue us from a foreign land and into your kingdom. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that we can now sit in your presence. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that all of creation was made so that man could rest in you. You made the garden and you labored for those 6 days. On the seventh, you rested and you called man to rest with you. So Heavenly Father, help us in these moments to spend time resting with you. Thank you so much for your presence. Thank you so much for your leading. Thank you so much for your friendship and for your guidance. In your holy name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Isaac. And thank you again for being a part of our listening family. If you're a regular listener, you know that we're on an ongoing basis continuing to promote and encourage young people to be a part of our Ten Commandments project. It's a discipleship project, but also it's a fun project. It's an exciting project, and it's a means whereby we can help and encourage our young people to fill their hearts and their minds with your precious and powerful word. And we're excited today to have one of our participants who will be with us to both share her speech and to be able to, for us to be able to talk with her as well today. So today, our phone guests are Jolie Seagraves and her parents, Chad and Leslie Seagrave. Jolie, Chad, and Leslie, how are you all today?
Great. Thank you.
Doing well.
Thank you for having us today.
Honored to have each and every one of you. And want to say once again, Jolie, really do appreciate you deciding to be a part of the project. We have fun with the Ten Commandments Project, but at the same time, it's a very serious thing because discipling our children, I don't think I have the ability to overemphasize how important that is to the heart of God and that how important it needs to be for the church to help our children to come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and to help them to grow up in their faith, to become kingdom warriors as well. So, Jolie, again, we appreciate you joining us today. Now, I want to start off with a question. You have a kind of a unique name. Can you tell us about your name and what it means and how you feel like your name impacts your life as well?
Yeah, so my name is Jolie, and it's not spelled like the normal way, but it's spelled, my name means the Lord is willing, and it comes from the book Joel, but we just added an I to it. And so I'm named after Joel 2:28-29, which says, in the last days I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy, dream dreams, and see visions. And so this impacts me because I want to see the Great Commission completed. And when we both have sons and daughters working together side by side, shoulder to shoulder, the Great Commission will get done faster. And then I also love that it says, I will pour out my spirit on all people, your sons and daughters. And so it makes me really excited to know that Jesus wants daughters to also go on mission. And so, yeah, I just really love my name, and that's what it means and impacts me.
Okay. Well, that's a neat backstory behind your name, and we appreciate you sharing about that as well too. And now, wanted to ask you this: can you tell me what made you decide to get involved with the Ten Commandments Project?
Well, I love to speak, and I love to do anything that promotes Jesus. And so, and I also love to just write speeches and then share them with other people so that it can encourage them to live for Jesus. And so I saw this in one of the journals or magazines, and I was like, ooh, I want to totally do this. And so my dad had just come back from India, and that night I was like, Dad, I want to do this video, and I've already written the speech, and so please can we just video it? And so we videoed it, and the next day he left. And so I just really love doing this, and I want to share my love for Jesus with the world. So, yeah. Mm.
Well, we do appreciate you having chosen to get plugged in and participate. Now, you have a couple favorite passages of Scripture. I'm going to ask if you'll go ahead and read the one from Philippians for us. Would you read that at this time? Philippians 1, chapter 1, verses 21 to 30.
Okay. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet what shall I choose? I do not know. I'm torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far, but it is more necessary for you that I remain in the body. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain, and I will continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith, so that through my being with you again and your boasting in Christ Jesus will abound on account of me. Whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in one spirit, striving together as one for the faith and of the gospel without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. This is a sign to them that they will be destroyed, but that you will be saved, and that by God. For it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ not to only believe in him, but also to suffer for him, since you are now going through the same struggle you saw I had and now hear that I still have.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jolie, for sharing that scripture. Well, Chad and Leslie, thank you all again for being with us as well. And I want to ask Chad and Leslie, would you all just say a word of prayer for our listeners that they would have ears to hear all the Lord wants to say to them through our broadcast today?
Jesus, we just thank you for the privilege of radio broadcasting, and we do pray that your Holy Spirit would speak to the audience tonight, that they will be receptive to your message, that they will soak in your word, that they will decide to obey your commands and know what it means practically in their own lives individually, that they will know what it means to live as Christ and to die as gain. And we just pray your blessing on this time in Jesus' name.
Jesus, I also just pray that we know that when you said these words, that if we have ears, we need, and if we hear, then what you really mean by that is we need to obey it. And that if it's like we tell our children, did you hear me? And that's basically because if they don't obey, then we know that they were asking a question like, you have ears, but are you actually hearing? And so, God, I just pray for listeners today that, Jesus, your word is so powerful and it's meant to be lived by, Jesus. And I just pray that for every listener that today their ears will be opened, God, and that for whatever it is that they hear, that they will hear your words and they will obey it. God, I pray that every listener would not just be a person who believes in you, Jesus, but every listener would be a disciple of you where they're trying to become more like you every day. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Chad and Leslie, before we go back to Jolie and listen to her speech, I want to ask you to respond to this, if you would. What thoughts go through your head as you observe your daughter getting involved with something like this and doing the great job that she did? I'm going to start with you, Chad, and then we'll go to you, Leslie. And if we run into the break, we'll just pick up on the other side. But Chad, if you'll start us off, please.
Sounds great. Yeah. The heart of Leslie and myself is both to make disciples of all nations, and that obviously means our own children. So we're blessed to have four children, and Jolie's the oldest. We have one child in heaven, and we have a son who's younger than Jolie, and then another daughter we adopted from China. So we love it to see when our children are following Jesus and having a heart for him. This is just an easy way to express what's in her heart, to let it come out of her mouth, and that's a beautiful thing.
And I think for me, when we named each of our children, we named them with what we wanted their legacy to be. And I think with the word Joel in Hebrew, it means the Lord is willing. And so when we saw that Joel 2:28-29 is that the Lord wants and is willing for his sons and daughters, we just knew that our first child, as a girl, we wanted her to be named Jolie, just being willing to jump into opportunities, even when they're hard. And we have not raised our kids to be safe or to be to desire comfort. We want them to realize that living cross-culturally, that they have to take risks. And so when she said that she wanted to do that, I just sort of waited to see if she continued to say it. And then every day she's like, I really want to do that. And we were about to leave for overseas and we were so busy, but she was adamant, I have to join this project. And so, you know, just seeing her willingness and desire to jump into something that you all have just launched was just a blessing to both of us. I mean, when you see your children walking in truth and compassion and love and in the way of Jesus, there's nothing that delights my heart more.
Amen. Amen. That's powerful. And I appreciate both of you sharing your thoughts there. And Jolie, again, grateful to have you as a part of the project. We're coming up on the break. And on the other side of the break, we want to allow you the opportunity to share your speech. So we'll pick up there. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our phone guests are Jolie Seagraves, one of the participants in the Ten Commandments Speech Challenge, and her dad and mom, Chad and Leslie Seagraves. We'll be right back.
Lighting up my way. My soul awakes to give you all the praise. Oh, I will trust in you. I will keep praising you through the night. I put my hope in you. You are the one who gives me life.
Music of Planet Shakers with Only Way, a reminder that Jesus Christ is the only way to eternal life and eternal salvation. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker, and we're honored and privileged to have as our phone guest today, Jolie C. Graves, who is one of the participants in the Ten Commandments Speech Challenge, and her dad and mom, Chad and Leslie C. Graves, as well. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the Seagrave family. Thank you for all those that are part of our listening family and all those we've lifted up in prayer today. Today we dwell in the secret place of the Most High, and so we abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Today we say of the Lord, you are our refuge and our fortress, our God, in you do we trust. Surely you deliver us from the fowler's snare, from the noisome pestilence. You cover us with your feathers, and under your wings do we trust. Your truth is our shield and buckler. And so we are not afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flies by day, nor for the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor for the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at our side, and 10,000 at our right hand, but it shall not come near us. Only with our eyes shall we look and see the reward of the wicked, because we have made the Lord our refuge, even the Most High our habitation. No evil will befall us, neither shall any plague come near our dwelling. For you give your angels charge over us to keep us in all our ways. They bear us up in their hands, lest we dash our foot against a stone. We tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent. We trample underfoot, because we have set our love upon you. Therefore you deliver us. You set us on high, because we have known your name. We call upon you and you answer us. You are with us in trouble. You deliver us and honor us. With long life you satisfy us and show us your salvation. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Well, again, our phone guest today that was a participant in the project is Jolie C. Graves. And Jolie, if you're prepared to go ahead and share your speech at this time, please go right ahead, okay?
Yeah. Okay. At 11 years old, I stood by my window in Southeast Asia where my family lived at the time. Suddenly, I felt heavy in my heart. I felt God impress me with a deep sense of urgency for his purposes. I sensed the need to run. The time is short. God's first command, you shall have no other gods before me, confronts our culture absorbed with worship of self. You hear phrases like, you do you, and follow your heart. These drive me crazy because it's not about us. It's about lining ourselves up to God and his ways and his purposes for the world. I'm reminded of a young woman from India that my family knew. Priti met Jesus at the age of 14. At the age of 19, her family found a man for her to marry, but he was a Hindu. She refused to marry him because he worshipped many gods. Because of her refusal, she was stabbed to death. Priti met Jesus at the age of 19 because she had no other gods before Jesus Christ in her life. How can we also live with no other gods but Jesus Christ? From Priti, I learned I must love Jesus with my whole heart. I also learned that Jesus is to be my audience of one. First, I must love Jesus with my whole heart. None of us want our parents to love us halfway or our future spouse to love us some of the time. Jesus doesn't want that either. Jesus is to be the priority of our hearts all the time. Growing up, my mom often said, remember whose you are. I am God's daughter. I was created in God's image. Once the religious leaders asked Jesus whether they should pay taxes to Caesar or not, Jesus told them to give him a coin. Whose image is this and whose inscription? When they answered Caesar, he stated, then give to Caesar what is Caesar's and to God what is God's. Jesus powerfully communicated how to live with no other gods in this response. Because we are stamped in the image of God, that's whose we are. Therefore, our entire lives belong to him. God is to be our priority. As a high school student, grades and athletics mean a lot to me, but my identity rests in whose I am. Because I am God's, Jesus is to be my priority. Secondly, Jesus is to be my audience of one. As a teenager, it's so easy to want to fit in, to belong, to be like others. But God has called us to be different, to stand up and to stand out for his purposes. Growing up, my mom said often to me, remember who you are. I'm an ambassador of Jesus on earth. I'm to represent his kingdom on earth. This to influence how I talk, dress, and act. So cheating and gossiping and saying bad words and taking the Lord's name in vain may be common among teenagers. These violate God's character and standards. If he is my audience, I want to live for his purposes on earth, which is for all the nations to know him. My goal for Jesus is for Jesus to clap when he watches my life as he sees my deliberate choices to represent his kingdom. I admit, loving Jesus with my whole heart, that's hard. It goes against my selfish human nature, my desire to fit in, my tendency to take the path of least resistance. But knowing that loving Jesus first and living for him as my audience can help me and others obey the first commandment to have no other God before Jesus Christ. Soon after I felt the urgency for the gospel in Southeast Asia, I had a gospel tract in my hand written in the language of where we lived. I felt the Lord wanted me to take it to the traffic guard on our street. I got my younger brother and we raced on the street laughing. I looked at the man and said, it's a gift for you. Merry Christmas. He received the small paper, smiled, and said, popcorn crap, which means thank you. My brother and I raced back down the street. I turned back and saw the sweet man reading it. 3 days later, this guard died in a motorcycle accident. God wants us to put him first because the world needs the good news. Run. The time is short.
Amen. Amen, Jolie. A very powerful speech. Thank you so much for sharing that. We appreciate that. Jolie, would you take a moment now specifically to pray, especially for young people, but for any and everyone else listening, that they would come to know Christ and have a passion for him during this life. Would you pray for that at this time?
Yes. Dear Jesus, thank you for this day. Thank you that we get to live for you. And I pray that you will just put in a burning heart, make a burning heart into every single teenager that listens to this, or that you will just, in every teenager around the world, that they will just have a burning passion to live for you and to have an audience of you and not care about what people say, but that they will know that you are the only way and that they should follow and focus on you. And I pray that they will just, that they will remember who they are and whose they are, and that they will just live by that and remember to share that with others. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jolie. Now, tell me again how old you are, Jolie.
I'm 17.
You're 17. Okay. You sound like you're about a 45-year-old missionary. I tell you what, with the heart you've got. Thank you so much, Jolie. That powerful message, powerful speech. And of course, as we've mentioned before, we're encouraging you to ask for the opportunity at your local church and, of course, elsewhere as the doors open to be able to share that speech because, again, it's one that can bless a lot of people. So thank you again for being willing to share. Now, you recently returned from overseas on a missions trip, I think I understood. And can you tell us maybe a story or two about something that you were able to do that impacted your life?
Yeah. So this summer we were in Nepal, and one of the places that we went to an unreached village, and I got the chance to meet a sweet older woman she had never heard the name of Jesus. She hadn't only heard the gospel. She never heard the gospel, but she never even heard the name of Jesus. And so I was given the blessing to be able to share Jesus' name for the first time, probably with this woman, and share the gospel with her. And so this this is like a really big blessing to me and an impact in me because his name is so awesome, but so many people don't know the name of Jesus. And so this, it like made me, once I shared with her, my goal was to share the gospel with someone when I was 17 before I went to college. And so it makes me want to share even more. And then also another story is that we also went to Turkey and we visited the seven churches in Revelation. And so one of them was in Philadelphia, and this Philadelphia is like the city of brotherly love in America. But so we went to the Philadelphian church, and as soon as we were there, we met a couple, and they were from Indonesia and Singapore, and they are both believers. And so we got to speak to them. And then as we were walking a morning, we heard people, a group of people singing to Jesus. And this is a group, tour group from Tanzania. And so we got to meet them and sing with them to Jesus. And it was so amazing because Philadelphia, city of brotherly love, or we were in the Church of Philadelphia, and we got to sing with fellow believers. And so it was so awesome because this church also had nothing negative to say. Jesus had nothing negative to say about them. He just said, I know your strength is weak, but you are continuing to not deny my name. And this is just amazing because we got to meet fellow believers here, and this is the church that Jesus had nothing negative to say about. And so just these two stories of getting to tell the name of Jesus for the first time to someone who had never heard the name and also meeting fellow believers was just impacting me, and I will remember them for the rest of my life.
Mm. Yeah. I really appreciate you sharing about both of those experiences. Thank you so, so much. I did want to ask you, too, yeah. about this, too. I'm reading about just something you had the chance to do in your school. You were instrumental in starting a club in your school called Warriors for Life. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so Warriors for Life, I started it as a sophomore, and it's a pro-life club that seeks to defend life and do justice. So our mission is to mobilize students to be a voice that protects babies locally and globally, equips teenagers to defend life through pro-life apologetics, and prays for the ending of abortion. So our goal as a club is to end the genocide of abortion. And so I felt this, like I needed to have this as a sophomore in my club, in my school, and it has just grown into something huge, and I'm so thankful to Jesus about that.
Mm, that's powerful. That's powerful. Thank you so much again for sharing about that. And Jolie, I believe you can be probably already have been to a great extent, but will continue to be a great influence that the Lord will use to touch the lives of many other of your peers in view of the fact that you have a great passion for the Lord at such a young age. So thank you again for being with us and sharing that. So would you share, you had a second passage of scripture you wanted to share with us.
Yes. So it was Proverbs 4:23-27. And it says, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Keep your mouth free from perversity. Keep your corrupt talk far from your lips. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Be careful. Give careful thought to the path for your feet, and be steadfast in all your ways. Do not turn to the right or the left. Keep your foot from evil.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jolie. Again, thank you again so much for both sharing your speech and just sharing your heart for the Lord. We really do appreciate that. Chad and Leslie, I wanted to ask you a few things. Now, specifically, my understanding is basically you all are a missionary family. Is that correct?
That's correct, yes.
Well, that's great to know. And also the fact is actually every believer's family should be a missionary's family, whether they understand that or not. But your family seeks to live out Matthew 28:18-20, the Great Commission. And what does it practically mean to your family to be a mission-minded family? Can you share with our listeners your heart on that?
Sure, yeah. So 25 years ago, we founded a mission organization called 1040 Connections. And the 1040 stands for the 1040 window. That's where 95% of the world's unreached people groups reside. It's across North Africa, Middle East, India, China, a lot of your Asian nations. And when we started the organization, we had a twofold passion. One was that everyone would have a chance to hear the gospel in a context that they could understand. And then secondly, we wanted to see churches that already existed globally, that they would have a heart for what Jesus wants, exactly what you're saying, that every believer is supposed to be engaged in what God wants in the world. And so as our family, we just knew we were married for 10 years before we decided to have children. And our desire when we were praying about having children, we said, Jesus, we only want to have children if we can continue to run hard after your passion for the nations. And as soon, and we prayed that, and we actually asked God to make us barren if he knew that we could not do it as a family. We immediately got pregnant with Jolie, which is why we, the Lord is willing. We felt like the Lord said, I'm willing for you to do this as a family. And so for as a family, we just know that what Jesus says in Matthew 28 is, as you're going, make disciples. And so as a family, we've lived overseas. We travel in and out of the nations. But it's regardless of where we are as a family, we're seeking to always help our kids to understand what's happening in the spiritual realm and what Jesus wants to see happen in the natural realm. So we're consistently teaching them, we're listening for the tears of humanity and for the tears of God, and that's where we form ministries to try to help bridge that gap where Jesus is the hope and the answer for the tears of humanity. And so, so just in a practical way, we're consistently trying to give our kids a vision for the world and trying to help them to see that their lives are not about themselves, but their lives are about Jesus Christ and what he wants in the world.
Mm-hmm. Praise God. Praise God. So you all travel quite a bit just throughout the world then, is that right?
We've lived overseas for many years in different places, South Asia, East Asia, Middle East. And most recently, we lived in Thailand and Southeast Asia. But because of various reasons, health reasons and COVID issues, we had to return to the U.S. So we still run the organization from the U.S., but we have national coordinators in multiple nations that oversee projects so that the goal of the organization is to defend life and multiply servant leaders to catalyze disciple-making movements.
Okay, I'm going to have to jump in right here. We're going to pick up right there on the other side. Our phone guests today are Jolie Seagraves and her dad and mom, Chad and Leslie. We'll be right back. Elevation Worship with Oh Sing. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Our phone guests today are Jolie Seagraves. She's one of the participants in our Ten Commandments Speech Challenge Project, and her dad and mom, Chad and Leslie Seagraves, as well. Chad, if you'll pick up where you left off, you were sharing more about the ministry that you all founded some years ago.
Yes, so 25 years ago, we started 1040 Connections with interdenominational churches in the U.S., and the focus was to work among unreached people groups, and so for 25 years, we've lived and worked among those places with the goal of catalyzing disciple-making movements, and we do that by defending life, which is the pro-life message, and multiplying servant leaders, which means encouraging and equipping men and women to join in God's mission.
Mm. Sounds like y'all are a busy family. Praise the Lord. Okay. Well, I'm going to ask, would you all, I'm going to ask if all three of you would pray for listeners and their families to become much more mission-minded in, just mission-minded in their lives and their lifestyles.
Yes. Jesus, we agree with this and just pray that your mission would permeate our lives. Let it permeate sermons, the devotions each day. God, let us see how you're working in the world, how we can join you in it. In Jesus' name.
Jesus, thank you that you gave us a mission to do, and I pray for families that they will not be afraid to do it, even if it's not the most popular thing. And I pray that you will just give them the courage to do this and that they will just be lights for you wherever they go.
And Jesus, I just pray that you would just raise up more and more families that would have your interest as their primary interest. God, whatever it is that you care about, that that'll be what our families care about, Jesus. Lord, I pray that we will be families throughout the world that put you first and that put others second and put ourselves last. And Jesus, I pray that you'd help us to see that the abundant life that you promise is a life that is a life given away, and that you'll just help families, that you would challenge us all, Jesus, encourage us all to place you as our primary focus, Jesus, because that is, you're worthy of that, Jesus. And we just are reminded of the Moravians who prayed that you would get that you would get what you went to the cross for, God, that you would get the nations. And God, so much of getting the nations is us walking with you and becoming like you so that we can share with more people. And I just pray that families around the world will begin to do that more and more, Jesus, and that you would encourage those who are, that we would not grow weary, God, and just walking beside you, God, in your passions for the world. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And Father, too, thank you and I praise you for the Seagrave family, Father. Flood them with favor, grace, and peace, and anoint them with a fresh anointing, and more use them to be an instrument to inspire others to be the kingdom-minded families you'd have them to be as well. We thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Amen. You know, I think it'd be neat if somebody made a reality show about your family and the work, the kingdom work you do. That would be so neat, you know. So maybe somebody listening might want to be in touch with you about that. So, but I wanted to ask you, Chad and Leslie, how have you sought to shape a biblical worldview for your children? Can you share with us about that?
You can do it to me.
It doesn't matter. So
go ahead.
Okay. So yes, a biblical worldview means everything. And I think just the way that the Bible begins helps us to see that there is one right way to view the world. So basically worldview, as all of the listeners understand, is that it's our beliefs impact our values, which impact our behavior. But what we see is the first four words of the Bible, in the beginning, God. And it's those first four words that have deeply impacted us on how to live our lives, but also how to raise our children. It's about God. He's the primary character of the Bible. And so what we've sought to do is just in the everyday moments of life to bring the reality of God into those moments. And I think one of the ways we've done that is we've not been those kinds of parents that, or we've tried to not be the kinds of parents that we think academics or athletics are the most important or getting into a good college, but it's really in trying to raise our kids with eternity in mind and helping them to point them consistently to that life is about more than what we have on earth. It continues into eternity. And so that's been kind of one of our guiding principles is what does it look like to live with eternity in mind and what is God wanting, and trying to push our kids in that direction to see things outside of just the frame of, and we do have athletes, we have good students in our family, but trying to always say, you know, what good is that if it's not with Jesus included in that?
I would agree. We also try to expose our kids to evil in the world, but then we debrief it. So we're with them in the midst of difficult situations. So we'll go into Hindu temples or mosques or other places that are places where
red light district
worldly things happen. And then we discuss and debrief and put on the spiritual armor before and after we go to those places. And then we also try to help our kids understand that there's a grand story to it all. There's what God intended in the beginning, the fallen family, the redeemed family, which is what Jesus did on the cross, the multiplied family, which is how we live now to complete the Great Commission, and there's a forever family. So these five families are what guides our family as well.
And I think with the entertainment, like Chad said, we take them into evil. We don't allow them to be entertained by evil, so we
exactly
have really strict, you know, things about what we will do in our family. But by going into evil, you know, we've taken them, they've known about abortion since they were very young. I remember when my five-year-old son, we were standing at a pharmacy, and he said, "Mom, tell them. And I said, "Tell them what, sweetheart?" And he said, "Tell them that there's pills that can kill babies, but they shouldn't kill babies."
Mm-hmm.
And there was all of these people around, but his eyes were pleading with me to help him be a voice. And I remember looking down at him and realizing I was at a very pivotal moment in his life where he was going to see if I would tell a story of advocacy for someone else. And I looked at the pharmacist and I said, my son wants me to tell you to please not give any medicines to people that would take the lives of their babies in their womb. And everyone was totally quiet. And I was like, oh my goodness. But I think that that's what it means like to be discipling your children, is allowing them to engage the world. And my five-year-old knew about abortion at a very young age. He didn't know the methods or what was happening, but by allowing them to see what is real evil, they were in a maternity home this summer in Nepal, and they were holding a baby that had been rescued from abortion, and they get to see the beauty of what it means to stand up for Jesus and his kingdom because they see the fruit of that.
Those just powerful, powerful insights and truths. Thank you, then. Our time is almost gone. I want to ask a question. You did a Bible reading strategy with your children when they were young. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. So this is something that when Jolie turned 10, I just thought I would love to read the whole Bible with her in a year. And so on her birthday, at her 10th birthday, I gave her a letter and I said, would this be a challenge you would like to do with me? And at the end of the year, if you do it, I'm going to take you away for a night in a hotel and we'll just celebrate. And I said, but the key is I'm not going to continually remind you. You have to remind me each day to read the Bible with you. And so she said, yes, I want to do it. Well, the first 2 weeks she would talk about what we were going to do when we had our night away. And after about 2 weeks, that went away, and we would read the Bible together every day, and we would read something from the Old Testament, the New Testament, a psalm, and a proverb. And at the end of the year, by the time she turned 11, she had finished reading the Bible in a year, and we went and celebrated. And then I did that. I have a daughter in heaven, so just in her honor, when she would have been 10 on earth, I did it with her. She was in heaven, but I just did it on behalf of her. And then my son did it. And then my youngest daughter just finished it about a year ago. And it was so exciting to me because I would read the Old Testament part so I could shift some of the words, because some of the words I didn't really want them to actually read yet, as a 10-year-old. They would read the New Testament passage. And I noticed with my oldest, Jolie, that she would sometimes say, what does it mean in the original language? So she was really big in wanting to know what the original language. And then my son, he was really good at saying, oh, we read about that in this other passage. And so he was really good at doing cross-referencing in his mind. And my youngest, who is the funniest kid that I think God has ever created, she is from China. She's a born leader. And she said, Mom, the word psalm means sing, which means we have to sing the psalms. And I am a terrible singer. And she and I would sing the psalms, and the other people in our family would just laugh and laugh because I would try to make them sound kind of Hebrew. And but every child did it, and every child, they learned the diligence and the discipline of just putting the word into their hearts. And now they do quiet times on their own just because it's part of what they do as a normal part of their day.
That's powerful. That's powerful. Can you tell me, have you all ever put, have you ever maybe written an article about this project that you've done with your family?
No, I've never done that before.
It's a good idea.
I'm going to ask you to write an article and send it to us so we can put it to use, because there's a lot of wisdom and insight behind what you've just shared. And the reality is we cannot overemphasize the importance of filling the hearts and the minds of our children with God's powerful word. There's no way to even overstate that, because it's so important. So please do. Would really, really appreciate that. Our time is just about gone completely. Thank you all so much for sharing from your hearts. Jolie, I'm going to ask if you can take another 30 seconds to pray for whatever's on your heart, to pray for young people in our culture.
Sure. Okay. Jesus, thank you for this time and that we get to be on your team. And I pray for kids and teenagers my age and younger, older, and I pray that we will just live for you and that we will just live our lives as working for an audience of one in whatever we do. And thank you that we get to be a part of multiplying what people for you, and I pray that we will just all become people on mission, and that we will just have it just whenever we meet a new person, that we will wonder if they're a Christian, if they're going to heaven. And then we will just come up with ways to bring the gospel into every conversation that we have. Thank you for this time and for the chance to share with everybody what it means to be a follower of Jesus. And just an amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. And Chad and Leslie, would you all just share, is there a website of where people can get more information about the 1040 connection?
Yes, it's www.1040connections.org. 1040connections.org is the website.
All right. Repeat it one more time.
www.1040connections.org.
All right. Well, thank you all again so much for both letting the Lord use you so mightily, and thanks for being with us today. As we normally do before we end the broadcast, if you are listening today and you have never given your life to Jesus Christ, today is a good day, a great day to be saved. If you'd like to make the step of asking Jesus Christ to come into your heart, to be your Lord and Savior, asking Him to save you, would you simply from your heart pray this prayer with us even now? Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so much. You came into the world a long time ago. You lived. You died on the cross to pay for all my sins. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess, I've sinned and done wrong in many, many ways. Lord, I repent. And I turn from all the wrong I've done. Forgive me, Lord, for all the wrong things I've done. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. You told us in your word, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Lord, now I'm calling on your name. Lord, save me. Fill me with your Spirit. Help me to follow you all my life. Help me to read your word daily. Help me to live a life of prayer daily. Help me to obey you and follow you daily. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you prayed that prayer and gave your life to Christ, we want to be in touch with you. Once again, my email is joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. Please email us. We'd like to share with you some literature and resource materials that will help you to begin to grow up and grow strong in your new walk with the Lord. Please email us. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. Please pray much for the Seagrave family as they continue to serve the Lord as a mission family, and pray that God would help every family to become every family of believers to be the mission family God has called them to be. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.